Splitskin, you worthless penny poker, it wasn't funny or entertaining the first time or the eighth time. You might as well just take over the role of the husky claws or jism dogs of hardcore husky. Piss on you.
Another one.
All right, we the best. I'm out.
With Hitler, the more I learn about that guy, the more I don't care for him.
Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a color man. You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Yeah, you make good comments.
The weather is perfect, the field is fast at the Rose Bowl for tonight's ball game.
We were, me and Coop were just talking off air before hitting record, and was bringing up the fact that the last time we recorded a podcast a few months back, Coop was in the realm of wanting to have Kalen DeBoer's baby. So I said, should we start with that? He said, sure, I like to self-immolate, break me across the coals. So, Coop, how are you doing, buddy? And we are post-Kalen DeBoer now.
We are post-Kalen DeBoer. And by the way, just to bring everybody up to speed, I actually did have Kalen DeBoer's baby, but it turned out to be a Pico commie backstabbing fuck, so I flushed it down the toilet.
Did you kill it first, or did you just flush it right down the toilet?
I gave it what my nurse friend used to describe as a feather nap. Pillow over the face.
Welcome to the Hardcore Husky Podcast. I'm Derek Johnson, joined by Coop Dog.
For the record, I did not kill any babies. I did not kill any babies.
Well, I don't know we're not scripting this in any way, shape, or form, so I don't know what direction you'd want to go, but it is kind of curious, and I'm wondering, and you and I haven't even talked about this at all up until this moment, but this whole the rape charges against the former Husky player and some people in Alabama, including some Auburn fans, are demanding accountability from Kalen DeBoer at the University of Alabama. And, you know, headlines like he may not even coach a game and this kind of thing. I don't know if it'll get to that point, but and not to belittle whatever happened to the two, what may have happened to the two young women and everything. But if we're talking specifically football and the reverberations that coming from the rape charges, what's going through your mind?
I just was really surprised to see that Jeremy Stevens had another year of eligibility. That was weird. I didn't know that.
Well, we got Stevens, Ted Bundy, Tybo Rogers.
Yeah, I was
allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. You know, I have a lot of thoughts about that. It does, from the outside looking in, look kind of weird about the suspension, and then he's back for the playoff run. How that was handled.
At the time, did you go, huh? Because I did.
I did too. Because I knew that was a severe suspension. It was for something, obviously serious. It wasn't for mouthing off to a coach or something like that, because of where it came from, the source. I did dig a little bit into, like, you know, the Chapter 9 and some of the legalities around it, because I was just curious. There is so much there that I don't know that UW didn't handle it well, and I don't know that they did. I'm still on the fence. I think there's so much around how they, you know, the privacy stuff and a lot of other issues. I don't know. And I can tell you out of all things about me with the justice system or any type of administration or anything like that. I was listening to, Christian Capel and Danny O'Neill's podcast yesterday.
And,
yeah, I know. I like Danny O'Neill.
I've always loved Danny O'Neill, but when he's combined with Capel, it's just hard to listen to.
Well, it is, because Capel is boring and lifeless, and then Danny O'Neill has those ridiculously, like, he sounds like a 40-year-old woman, like, laughter, like explosive laughter. It's actually kind of startled me every
bit of the giggle.
Yeah, and I like Danny
over
O'Neill.
Nothing.
I've met Danny O'Neill once and chatted with him for all of maybe 2 minutes, and he's just as nice as you'd think he would be.
Absolutely.
But yeah, he's a great guy. But I was listening to them, and Danny O'Neill said something that did rankle me because it's against my principles. He said that, that regardless of whether he was charged or not prior to charging or adjudication, he should have been kicked off the team. Basically, is what I'm paraphrasing completely here, and because they're higher standard. And I hate that idea because I am not saying this is a false flag operation or anything like that, but there has been so much. God, I don't know if you can hear my dog squeaky toy in the background. That's really embarrassing.
It's all right.
But
we usually got Wooly Duke's brother-in-law's dog attacking treats in the background or something.
I have heard his dog in the background. That's funny.
And the timing is always impeccable. But anyways, worries. Go ahead.
No, just to finish that thought, I 100% disagree with what Danny O'Neill said about that. So, because there are a million cases, especially in the Believe All Women era that we just went through. Hopefully we're through that phase of life and politically in this country. I have a visceral reaction to somebody saying, oh, regardless if it was adjudicated or not, this is a very serious accusation. Yeah, motherfucker, there's a lot of serious accusations. People get accused of stuff all the time. There was a time in my life I got accused of assaulting 14 police officers.
I remember that.
At once. But it wasn't true, but that was the accusation. And it's like, yeah, I don't like that idea. So if there was what I kind of constructed is those accusations hit the athletic department or the university. So they immediately had to start an investigation, and that probably triggered you need to sit for a week until we get through this. I don't know what that initial investigation came up with. And just because this is adjudicated and he's been charged, really – you know, the truth is out there somewhere, and I don't want to come across as crass, but I am crass. But boy, if there's any truth to these allegations, yeah, then roast his fucking ass. And my heart goes out to these young women who were abused by him. That's kind of where I sit on. I mean, I hate bullies, and if it's true, then you know, I wouldn't mind going into a room with a baseball bat for a couple of minutes myself. But to quote the greatness of Hardcore Husky, let it play out. That's kind of where I'm at with these things, you know? That's a wrong answer there. Go ahead.
No. I have two thoughts. The second thought will probably spur some anger out there, but my first thought is that, you know, all these headlines in the Seattle Times and whatnot, suspected of two rapes or raping two women, and there's a picture of him. And it's like, if, you know, you would tend to think he's not innocent, but if he is innocent, how is he supposed to, like, get a job in the future and all that? You know, it's like, if he's guilty, who cares, you know, but I'll say that. And then the other thing I'll say, and this will get some people out there upset, but by no stretch of the imagination do either of these women in these situations deserve what happened to them. I am not saying that. But one key component and denominator with both of them is that they allowed a stranger into their apartment by themselves, based on what I read, they've never met them before. And you, they're alone with a strange man in your apartment that you've let in. And this is 2024. I mean, even if it was 1975 or whatever.
Sure.
But so the fact I haven't really seen what I just expressed there, I haven't seen that expressed anywhere else. And it's something that merits mentioning, the lack of common sense that each of those girls, women, exhibited. Now, does that mean that they deserved what happened to them? Of course not. Allegedly happened to them? Of course not, you know. But it's just like, you know, there's constant, you got to be so careful in this day and age, and everything online is fake. People are fake. We live in a society where, you know, we've kind of lost our, you know, is this where I launch into my Judeo-Christian, whatever, you know, we've turned our back on God as a society, and you see it breaking down everywhere. And not that I'm overtly religious, but I do think things like the Ten Commandments are not a bad way to go. And anyways, just to, when you're a woman and you're vulnerable and you're letting a strange man into your apartment that you've never met before, that you met on Tinder, no less. This wasn't, eHarmony or something. So that's what I have to say. As I started off by saying, too, if he's innocent, his life's fucked. Now, you would think that two different, charges for rape would tend to indicate he probably is guilty. But anyways, there you go.
You would tend to think that there's a lot of cases out there, too, where, you know, people know each other and, you know, like women know each other. I've been kind of like, I don't know why I've been going down the rabbit hole a little bit with his case kind of, cause it just, it sucks. It just sucks, you know? And then the ramifications, the strangest thing I heard, but I was going to tell you a quick aside story that happened to me about a year and a half ago. No, I was not accused of rape, but this is how deep this is.
That'll be the title of our episode. Please continue.
I'd actually have to be having I helped a friend out who was going through a child custody issue with his ex-wife, and his ex-wife, I knew his ex-wife, and so he basically hired me, and I got on court papers to be the process server, thinking that would be a little bit better than, you know, a little bit more peaceful than sending some stranger over there from, you know, some bail bonds company or something like that. And I went to the house and knocked on the door, and she wasn't there, so I handed the papers off to her roommate and left. 2 days later, I'm all over Facebook on their door cam saying, some stranger's been coming by the house and stalking me. He's been by 10, 12 times now, and it's creeping me out. I have two small kids. I knew the whole family very well. She was a rather, you know, cute, popular server locally, and so next thing I know, I'm getting death threats. I'm getting people saying they're going to kick my ass. Yeah.
Well, you never told me that. Wow.
Yeah. No. I mean, it went away fairly quickly because I'm not a social person where I live because it sucks out here. There's nobody to be social with. I'm not into tweakers and hanging out at the Salvation Army, so I'm not very social out here. But I mean, that's just one example. And this is a person who knew me very, very well, who I was friends with. And she pretended she didn't know who I was and put my picture up all over her Facebook page. And she had probably 2,000 followers because, like I said, she's cute and she's a local waitress and stuff like that. And she's a vindictive, horrible human being, turns out, and all of that. And my friends went through hell over this child custody case and has tens and tens of thousands of dollars in debt and to lawyers and whatnot. But that's just kind of, that's just a quick aside there, just to show you that, you know, it in a minor way, you know, it was like, I was actually, you know, worried that I'd be walking into the grocery store or something around here and somebody was going to try to jump my ass. You know, it's like, oh, that's all I need.
Or call,
you know,
the police or whatever.
Call the police, you know, and that's all I need is legal trouble, you know. So that's something I don't need in my life. And this whole thing, the thing that shocked me that I was going to say on the podcast, and I mainly listen to that podcast when there's something noteworthy and newsworthy because I like Danny, but I guess they asked Jed Fish directly.
Capel, I love Danny.
I guess Capel asked Jed Fish to his face if he, you know, what he knew about this when he took over the coaching job. And Jed Fish said, and Capel said uncharacteristically, brusquely, because he's such an outgoing, nice guy, he said, I knew nothing about it, and walked away. Which would I don't know why he would lie about that. Jed Fish seems like a pretty upright guy to me. I mean, but then again, I wanted to have Kaylin divorce baby about 6 months ago. But that would really shock me. That would be a huge, ridiculous. I mean, I know Troy Dannon left and there was a lot of turmoil going on around that, but that's something, that's one of the first, when you do an in brief with a coach, kind of give them the, as we say in the Army, an in brief. And, you know, here's what's going on. Let me give you the sit rep for your unit here. That's one of the first things you mentioned. Oh, by the way, your running back has been accused of multiple rapes and he was just, you know, this is, and it's being adjudicated in court. That's really weird.
Well,
especially he went in the portal and then came back. Someone,
I hear you and I agree, but to me, any finger pointing at Fish is just like a non-starter. I mean, what does he have to do with this? Nothing.
So no, that's not my point. I think that would be a huge error on the university's side to not
or the media or students or whatever.
Right. I just thought that was really odd because that's and Fish has absolutely nothing to do with it. He's completely guileless in this. But if I was a coach and I all of a sudden got this thrown in my lap and the media's all over it, I'd be pissed the fuck off at the people who hired me. I can tell you that. You know, it's like I didn't need to get.
Or, I don't. You know, you've been down the rabbit hole further than me, so you might know more detail, but. To me, it's kind of like, you know, did they have reason to believe with 90% certainty that the rapes had occurred or whatever, then it might have warranted a mention or something. I don't know. I get the feeling that we've always joked for years that, oh, Washington's going to do things the right way, the Washington way, but we've meant that in a pejorative sense. But I really, you know, well, you know, going back to the Willingham days and the Sark days and everything. But I really feel like they're trying to be a winning outfit up there, and you just don't get put on blast of all the, you know, these liberal vibes and everything. You get a sense that they want to do things above board, but they want to win, and they want to be aggressive, and it's just like, who are you, and what have you done with the Washington Huskies, you know? It's like, so if they didn't mention it enough to him, or they mentioned it in passing, or didn't mention it at all, I don't even know that I because you figure that was more or less adjudicated by I guess maybe not Kalen DeBoer, but Dannon. But they would may have already been put to bed, so to speak. So I don't know. I'm rambling. I don't know.
No, it's okay. I got it.
I mean, I'm not mad at you, Dub, for that, based on what I know, and I'm certainly not mad at Fish for it. So
no, great. I come at this, I guess, from a worldview of having been a former Army commander, and it's like that would be like crucial information that could affect my readiness. You know, if I'm going to lose a key piece of my unit, that's something that would be top of the list. But that's just my perspective on that. I get what you're saying.
And I'll say this too. There is something I won't go into detail about, and the story got killed, but when I was at the Windville Weekly, there was a potentially very sensitive situation involving a player and a female student. And when I approached, after a football game, I approached the athletic director, the former athletic director now, of Woodinville, and the way that I approached it and broached the subject, like she was literally taken aback that I knew, and like you could see the terror in her eyes or whatever. And I handled that wrong. And so the reason I bring that up is that as soon as you said, like the Capel mentioned it to Fish, and then Fish was uncharacteristically brusque and walked off, you know, it's possible that Capel may have said things in a certain tone or something that made Fish get on the defensive and wonder what's happening here. I need to get away from this or whatever.
That's perspective. Yeah, absolutely. I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So who knows?
You know, the way Capel is, maybe just his droll personality, Fish just went, go fuck yourself, man. You're boring and I don't want to talk to you. Danny O'Neill had done it.
I think he's doing
like,
a good job with
his
blog.
What's going on with the rape?
We need to get you down at Giggles or whatever.
Well, hello, coach. What's going on in the rape? I'm Danny O'Neill.
Totally an aside, only vaguely linked to what you just said, but back when I was creating Hardcore Husky, and I was talking with my buddies, and I probably asked you as well, because this was back in the day. I was trying to figure out a name for the site. And C. Fetter's Nacho Lover wanted the site to be called HuskyCreamPie.com. And I said, oh, that's great. If by any chance we get, media passes and everything, and then you can raise your hand and ask the coach a question, you know. C. SteveHatter.Gilletter for HuskyGrapevine.com. Coach, what's going on with the running back rotation there? It's not making sense to us.
Well, hey, with this, this new administration, with this all the complete turnover in this administration, what are you thinking about putting in for a press?
No, they wouldn't. I don't. If I were them, would I give it to us? Probably not. And anything that we if we did it, anything that we wrote, and I would be of course overseeing it or writing it myself. I mean, it would be fully responsible and everything. But we're just such a board of loose cannons that you know. I mean, who was the only sector in Seattle media at all that was, you know, calling out Sark and all these things over the years? It was us, you know.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. You could not find a single, I mean, UW Dog Pound or any of those secondary sites or anything, those guys who think that they're journalists and stuff like that. Nobody was doing it.
Mm-mm. Nope. So,
yeah.
I don't know, at the end of the day, and it doesn't even matter to me what the final summation is, but at the end of the day, you know, Washington has basically gotten to the right mindset and set of actions that we've always wanted. And I'd like to think the Hardcore Husky had at least 1% to do with that, steering things that direction, because we were constantly calling them out, whatever we saw bullshit. And, you know, Jen Cohen and the whole nine yards and Peterson and everything, Jimmy Lake. And when won't name the player, but a former player had stopped in at Jen Cohen's office to talk to her about something, and he glanced at her computer screen and saw a Hardcore Husky. Like,
seriously?
Oh, yeah. This was years ago, but yep. Oh, yeah. They've been monitoring us since our existence. That's not a secret, but yeah, that made my day that particular day. So I thought that was kind of funny. Are you there? Uh-oh. Am I going to have to go solo like Rush Limbaugh? So let's see here. As we wait for Coop to come back, what can we talk about? Let's see here. In regards to Danny O'Neill, always enjoyed Danny O'Neill very much. I think he's a good guy. He was a good writer. And the one thing, and I still mourn when he was on with the whole Danny David Moore, in particular, I thought that the rapport that he had with Jim Moore was just really, really good. And that's something that I always enjoyed. And I enjoyed the banter between the two and the humor and everything. And that's why Coop is just a total asshole. And I can't believe that he bailed on this show. And I don't know if I can ever forgive. Oh, hi. How long have you been there?
Hi, Ted. I don't know what you've been saying, but.
I was talking about Danny O'Neill, and then I heard the beep indicating you had come back online. So I kicked into my little stupid little joke there.
What the heck? I got the weirdest little anomaly. So I've got Starlink. I've got Elon Musk's, internet out here. Because I'm literally CenturyLink is like 1 megabyte per second on a good day out here, and and I do way too much binge watching and video game playing for that shit. Plus, I got laptopping and phoning and stuff to do. But every now and again, the satellite phases out for about 5 seconds. I get a lack of coverage for like 5 seconds every couple of hours, and we just hit that window when we were on the phone just a second ago.
Was I too convincing when I was going on my little tirade there, or did you know 100% I was joking?
Oh, I assumed you were joking.
Yeah.
If you weren't, I would have found it actually quite hilarious.
Joey and Willie Duke are tired of it, I'm sure, even though they haven't said it, but like when we start a show and then one of them will get on and I'll, before we start recording, and me and whoever it is will be talking. And then I'll be in the middle of saying something, but as soon as I hear that boo-doo, meaning that the second person has joined, and then I'll immediately start going, Joey, I'm not just going to sit there and let you say all this shit about Wooly Doob, all right? That's not cool, man. And then And it's the same thing that I do over. And I'm sure that it's happened 58 times now, and they're probably getting tired of it, but I still can't stop, can't help myself. But
it's all good with me, anyway. Bro. You know, I got a thicker skin than a fucking 200-year-old alligator. You know me. So.
Oh, no, I know that. Where were we? We never did get the main point of me bringing up the whole Tybo Rogers thing, though, was ultimately what I'm curious what your thoughts are in terms of the fallout for Kalen DeBoer, if any.
I don't think there's going to be any. I think it's a lot of sizzle, no steak. I pulled that. That's a reference for you, old time hardcore Huskies. And I just realized and when I got off there for. There's way too much military jargon coming out of my mouth this morning. I apologize. I truly am the sweatpants general this morning for some fucking reason. I was having army dreams last night. That's probably why. But anyway, I don't think there's.
But you went 3 days without sleeping, though. So.
God, I did. I do that sometimes. Life without alcohol induced sleep can be tough sometimes. I'm telling you.
That could be the title of our episode too.
I'm giving you plenty of fodder.
Joey's not here. Joey's usually the one that provides all the titles, but I just go, oh, that'll make a good title. Oh, that would make a good title. But you're bringing them in space.
We still have to do a crossover one of these days. I know we're conservative political talk show, but it'd be fun to have at least one or two of you guys on the Two Grumpy Bastards podcast.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely.
That'd be fun.
I don't know how – I can't speak for my compadres, but for myself, you bet.
No, it'd be fun, and it doesn't have to be political. You can just shoot the shit about, you know, Russ and I like to get into cultural and humor, and I don't know if you enjoyed our joke duel there at the end. Some of those were kind of dark, but
I didn't get to the end. I listened to about an hour and a half, I think.
Yeah, we can ramble. Russ and I both like to talk, that's for sure. Imagine what it was like sitting in an office between the two of us back in the day when we worked together. Oh, my God.
But about DeBoer.
Yeah, about DeBoer in Alabama. I don't think there's going to be any fallout. I don't know that they didn't handle it to the letter of the law. I don't know that they didn't. And even if they didn't, the university was overseeing this. Obviously, the university had its clutches into it. With the suspension prior to the playoff, he would not have been able to get his player on the field, I don't think, through upper campus if they didn't okay it. I can't imagine that.
Agreed.
With the severity of the suspension and the complaint, I don't think so. So I think he's going to be Teflon on this. And, you know, It's like those intense romances. At one point, I wanted to have his baby, and now I want to punch him in his baby maker. So I was kind of like going, you know, it would be a little bit of karma, but on the other hand, I don't know that there is any karma in the situation that he left for Alabama, leaving us the way he did. And you know, I was butthurt over it. I admit, because I
did, you saw my post.
I did, and I'm it was, I do. Believe called loyalty. I just do. I just it do. Was, you know, I'm old.
It was DeBoer to UTEP. Cook it.
I saw that. That was, I got a giggle out of that. And I don't know who it was that, maybe it was, I think it was probably, probably Race Bannon, who, had a good thread going, where he, introduced that tweet from some dude back east, and then I love the photo of Mike Price that Yellow Snow put up wearing the dad shoes and the and the sweats and going, yeah, that is kind of funny to think that two Washington school coaches have been hired by Alabama and there's a chance that neither will ever coach it down. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought of that, but I forgot Mike Price was hired there. I completely mm-hmm. forgot about that. And then went to a strip club.
And, it went beyond that, though.
I know.
It's rolling, baby. but when I saw that picture that was – oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just said, I always liked Mike Price. I had a soft spot for Mike Price.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I never had a problem with him. In fact, I thought he was a really good fit for Wazoo. So,
absolutely.
And not really, he couldn't, anyways, that's water way under the bridge, but I thought it was weird at the time that he'd go to Bama, but, or that Bama would want him, should I say, but one thing that occurred to me when I saw the picture that Yellow Snow posted of him, where, as you said, he's in the dad shoes and the tracksuit thing or whatever, and he's, it looks like he's dancing to practice music or whatever.
He totally is. Snapping his fingers to get.
And the thought that occurred to me was, after he gets fired at Bama and then he turns up at UTEP and finishes his career there, how many millions of dollars did he lose from that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and salaries weren't then what they are now, because that was probably 25 years ago or whatever, but 27 years ago maybe. But, you know, still, it must, because, see, Neuheisel was right at $1 million when we hired him in 99. So you figure if he had stayed at Bama for 6 years, he was probably getting $300,000 a year at UTEP, maybe. So, you know, right there, it's probably at least $4.2 million he lost. But anyways,
do you remember? I'm not interested enough to actually Google it right now. But do you remember how he? Well, actually, I will. I'm just curious. I was curious how he did at UTEP. I can't remember. I'm going to look real quick while you're talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I kind of kept one eye on him for a few years there. It seemed like there was a lot of 5 and 6, 6 and 5 stuff, and you'll tell us in a minute here, but.
Well, let's see. Ooh, that's so good. He went 8-4 his first year, or his first 2 years, 2004, 2005. And 6-2 and 5-3 in conference, second in the WAC, and then Conference USA after that. And then it just went downhill from there. 5-7, 4-8, 4-8, 6-7, 5-7, and then ended up 3-9 before he got fired. And then this is weird. He must have come back. Was he a fill-in coach in 2017 and went 0-7?
Where?
There's a five year at UTEP. There's a 5 year gap, 2012 to 2017.
I don't remember that. That's weird.
I mean, welcome to the Washington State Cougar podcast.
Mike Price deep dive.
That's right, talking about old Cougar coaches here. But no, I just thought that was interesting. It's an interesting connection. And there's controversy. It's weird because, I won't get fooled again. I'm going to play that on my way out to Mount Rainier this morning. but I have been fooled. I guess Kalen DeBoer wasn't the guy I thought he was. Even, you know, I can justify from a financial and other standpoint why he did what he did, but I thought he was a different guy than that. And it just reminds me of that debacle we had many years ago when I was like, Jake Browning is the is the greatest quarterback since Mark Brunell.
Well, that I have to say that was a. In the years that have passed, it's a bigger thing in your mind than it is in mine. It was never a thing in my mind of, I got that son of a bitch or whatever. It was like, we just had a disagreement at the time. What's that?
It should be, man. I would gild my lily with that forever if I were you. Oh, I mean,
well, that's,
I deserve
you know.
It. I deserve it. I got it. I'm not wrong. When I'm wrong, I'm motherfucking wrong, baby.
So you were like, he's a cobra, he's this and that, and then smash cut to him like taking a 42-yard loss on a sack against Stanford, and
I've never seen anything like that in my life except like on movies about bad football teams, you know, like
right. If you were to take that clip and apply it to like the Bad News Bears for football or something, that would be it.
Yeah, it's like that. What was that movie where Scott Bakula was the quarterback of that, and he was like 35, and Kathy Ireland was the punter or the field goal kicker and shit? It was like something like that. Sinbad was like defensive lineman. You probably have too good a taste to have watched that.
Roadhouse is one of my favorite movies, but Scott Bakula football movie. Necessary Roughness, 1991.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Evander Holyfield was in it?
Yes, I watched it like 3 times, dude.
Sinbad was in it?
Sinbad.
Kathy Ireland was in it.
Yes, he was the field goal kicker.
This is, I don't know if I'm going to put it on my list or not, but.
The immortal line, the only line I remember Harley Jane Wozak was the love interest. Hot kind of dirty blonde, but the immortal line was when Kathy Ireland was kicking like an extra point or something, and the opposing team like hits her after she kicks it, and the guy leans over and goes, "Welcome to football, bitch," and she goes, "Welcome to football," and she kicks him in the nuts.
There you go. Oh, it says here that she was nominated for an Academy Award in this one. Must have been from that scene.
She was at the height of her powers, though, during that time. So it was worth
Robert Loggia was in that.
Yes, he was. And Hector
Larry
Elizondo.
Miller. Yep. Rob Schneider.
Coach. Yep.
Jason Bateman.
I do remember Jason Bateman in that. Yeah.
Peter Navy Tuiasosopo.
Really?
So we've done a Mike Price deep dive and a Necessary Roughness deep dive.
Talking a lot about Husky football, aren't we? We're talking about felons and nothing about all of this tumultuous activity going with losing coaches and hiring coaches and athletic directors leaving after a couple of months. And yeah, it's been kind of crazy time. Kind of hard to follow it all.
But the people out there want to know, is DeBoer going to get fired before he even coaches a game? That's what everybody's here for.
I know. That's what I don't think so. I will. I'll put 50 Husky Jacks on the fact that I think he will be Alabama's head coach.
And by the way, Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 35% Necessary Roughness. So
high. That's high. I thought it'd be like single digits. You know what's ridiculous about Rotten Tomatoes? I'll look, because I'll watch a movie, I'll be sitting here watching a movie, and then I have to do a deep dive. Like, I'll get on my phone and like look at producers and directors, because I'm a big movie style. I'm a huge mm-hmm. huge film fan, I'll see something like Oppenheimer's like 94%, and I'm like, who the fuck is the 6% who didn't think that was a good movie? But that's just insane. Now you're just virtue signaling some stupid bullshit. I mean, there are
well, you
some,
got
like,
people.
People,
there's always somebody like Bay or somebody that's going to be the contrarian, you know?
Right, because they're narcissists.
If they interviewed, hey, you know, coming out of Casablanca or something, he'd go, "Oh, it's fucked up. I hated it. It's not real." Bogey's terrible actor.
I'm the kind of guy that looks at a movie and I ask myself when I watch the movie, what's this movie trying to accomplish? What is it trying to accomplish? And if it accomplishes what it's stated to do, I'm not going to hate on it. I'll be like, well, you know, it's not for me, but hey, you know, I get it. Or I watched a movie with Randy recently that was a romantic comedy with like Sydney Sweeney and the handsome blonde dude from a bunch of movies. He played Neil Armstrong recently in a miniseries and stuff like that. And it was funny. I mean, it's not like something I'd watch every day, but it was like, what's this movie trying to accomplish? And there were some laugh out loud moments. And it's like, all right, that was a pleasant watch. I didn't hate that. I didn't waste an hour of my life watching that, you know? So that's where I come from on stuff like that. I'm not going to sit here and go, well, it doesn't follow the social critique of the modern, postmodern. Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you.
Well, no, the critics raked, again, we're going back to 1989 now, but the critics raked Roadhouse over the coals. And the acting in that movie was terrible, and a lot of the dialogue was terrible. But that was pure entertainment. I loved it. And even now it holds up, you know?
It does hold up. Absolutely.
And
I got to ask before we get off or whatever, or move on or whatever we're going to do here. Have you seen the Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal? The Netflix version?
No, and I never will. I was offended. I wrote a post about it a few weeks ago, actually, because I kept seeing advertisements pop up for it. And he's like wearing a Hawaiian shirt and glaring at the camera. And I was like, fuck this. What are they doing? come up with something original. It's a desecration to the original.
When I watched it, I was thinking about you. I was wondering how you felt. I thought, I bet you Derek we're going to watch this and fuck you. So I was accurate.
No, and you can just tell by the picture of it. He's glaring at the camera, trying to look tough, and his shirt's unbuttoned to his navel, and it's like, oh fuck. And that's that. You already had perfection. You don't need to try to go back and do it again. Come up with something new.
I hope we remain friends after I tell you this. I really do. But I enjoyed the movie, but I wish they would have just called it something
else. That's fine.
I wish they just would have come up. I mean, it's not Roadhouse. It's similar, and they pay homage to the original in many ways, but it's completely different. And so if they just would have said, oh, here's this really awesome movie about the Florida Keys and a guy that comes in and blah, 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 people would have said, oh, that reminds me of Roadhouse, but they wouldn't have had the emotional tie to it.
Okay.
Of course.
Or if he's talking to somebody early in an early scene and Gyllenhaal, and he goes, somebody says, you look kind of familiar. And oh yeah, well, my uncle was James Dalton, the James Dalton. And they did something like that. I could live with that.
Right.
But don't call it Roadhouse.
No, it's kind of weird because it's not the characters are nothing alike. I mean, he's a MMA fighter who killed his best friend in the ring. There is no romance in it. You know, it's a totally different. It's a totally different movie. It takes place in the Florida Keys. You know, it's totally different. So it's like, you should have just called it, either do what you did, have a kind of obscure tie-in like that, which would have been kind of cool. That's your homage,
yeah.
And then. You know, it's kind of in the family business that we do this or something like that, you know? But
that could be a tagline.
We wander around aimlessly with no suitcase and clean up bars, you know. You know, this is the family business continues. The legacy continues.
I saw that movie Roadhouse the original for the first time when I was 18, and the idea And I was kind of weird and, you know, a wayward 18-year-old, not on track for anything at that point. But I was the idea of being a philosophy major and graduate who's being a bouncer in wasn't in New York. He was in New York. And then the guy comes to find him and to bring him down to Missouri. And tosses everything he owns into the trunk of his Mercedes and drives all the way down to Missouri because flying is too dangerous, and then shows up in this rowdy town at a rowdy bar to clean things up. You know, that was the epitome of cool and everything I wanted to be at that point. So,
right. No, I
other than a running back for that.
every boy man our age wanted to be fucking Dalton, man.
Yep.
You know, every one of us. So, and rip somebody's throat out and
and yeah. Joe Rogan, do you remember that spin backwards kick where he ripped the guy's throat out and then he kicked him into the lake or the pond?
Yep. Absolutely.
And then Joe Rogan was just like beside himself of what a horrible weak kick that was and everything. And so, you know what? It was good enough.
It was good enough. The guy was already dead on his feet. I mean, come on now. being a martial artist myself, it was a fine kick. Crazy as a stud. I got to tell you something very funny, though, connected to the movie. So I was in a local grocery store, kind of like the redneck grocery store here that I like because people are very nice in there. And
unless you run into a certain person who posted you, went on blast on Facebook with you, so
yeah, nobody ever challenged me over that, so no, that never happened. But
I was just trying to be funny there. That was a thud. But go ahead, sir.
No, it was funny. aren't you the guy that was harassing that waitress? yeah, like something I would do. Yeah, it totally sounds like me. I was in the store and a guy, the Roadhouse movie came out a few weeks ago and, you know, Conor McGregor plays the baddie in it. And, the funny part is Conor McGregor just plays himself, which is highly entertaining.
but not literally himself, but, you know, his personality. He doesn't act. He just acts like Conor McGregor. And some guy comes up to me, no shit. And, you know, I got the beard and I got, you know, all that stuff going on these days. And he comes up to me and he goes, dude, you look like you could be Conor McGregor's dad. And I go, how about older brother? Are you fucking serious with me right now?
Do you have any Irish in you? Would you like some Irish in you?
That's right. But I should have answered that.
I better shut up.
I didn't think. And I'm like, dude, I'm twice his size. Come on. You know. And
well, do you remember I texted you about 2 months ago because I watched something and I don't remember who it was, but I was like, oh, my God, that looks like he could be a Coop's brother. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's his name, the actor? I get that a lot, actually, because he plays Colonel Fernando in Generation Kill, the miniseries about the first Marine recon in Iraq, the true story. Yeah, he's in a lot of things. But, yeah, I get that a lot. It's like, I don't know. We definitely could be brothers. I can't remember his name, but he's in a lot of stuff.
I found the text. This is me texting you on February 27th. I said, I'm watching Billions Season 4, Episode 7, and the actor Chance Kelly playing Ken Shattuck sounds like he's related to you. And then you wrote back, funny, I was just watching that actor as a bad guy in The Fringe today. He played a Marine battalion commander in Generation Kill, and my old cadets used to tell me we were the same guy. He looks like a young version of my biological father. So.
Yeah, he does. He does, whom I never met, but I've got photos of him, and it's like, yeah, he does. He totally does. Looks like my biological father at a young age. So no wonder my mom fell for him and had a fling.
That could be an episode title too. I'm gonna write that
and
one
of course,
down.
Of course, he was playing for the Miami Dolphins at the time my mom met him, so that was probably hot too. So,
are you kidding?
Mm-mm. No, my bio dad was a member of the. Yeah, he played pro football for a while. I don't know how long.
Oh, that's right. His last name was Zonka. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Zonka. First name Larry. Yeah, because I don't know.
And now you're Anthony Zonka. Yeah.
Anthony Zonka. No, unfortunately, I'm not going to say what his name was, but he had a very, 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 very Eastern European, Polish-ish kind of name. So when I found out about all the drama behind my family lineage and all that, I thought about changing my name, but I was like, yeah, it's not going to be to that.
Well, we wouldn't be able to call you Coop.
That's right. That's right. I thought about going with my mom's maiden name for a while. I toyed with this a few years ago. I think I told you about that. But her maiden name is Dinger, and that is so hard to say. And then people would probably call me Ding. And so it's like, nah, we won't do that either. We'll just stick with what I got.
And that could branch out into all sorts of bad areas.
Right.
Next thing, they're calling you Dingleberry at practice or something. And then
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm going to stay away from that. Coop's easy. Coop's easy, so that's funny.
So, about them Huskies.
Go Husky. I know, I do this every time to you on these podcasts. I feel bad.
No, it's fine. What's there to talk about? I guess other than maybe if people are out there going, how about something about spring ball?
I will say quickly that I don't know a whole lot about them, but I'm fairly impressed with this basketball hire. It looks like it looks like the Washington philosophy is to go with the younger and cooler and connected as far as these coaching hires lately, which is cool. I was happy, as you could be, with the hire of Jed Fish. Optimistic, and I do love. I know a lot of people think it's probably bullshit, but I love that he's got the Belichicks and the Pete Carrolls and stuff hanging out at the program a little bit. I love it. I think it's. I think it's nothing but good. So
well, it can't hurt. As Julia said, it can't hurt. And,
right.
And you know, that type of panache or whatever you want to call it only has so much shelf life. You obviously have to produce.
Sure.
But I think that the one thing that it could really, really help on is that, like, we haven't always had the best, when I say we, meaning the UW, hasn't always had the best relationships over the last 20 years with the area football coaches. And but you know, you get if you're the Woodinville coach or the North Kitsap coach or the Ferndale coach or the Cedro Woolley Cubs coach, and you get invited down there and you get to, you know, rub elbows with Belichick and stuff, I mean,
yeah,
that cannot hurt.
That's kind of badass, actually. I mean, you can't anything like that in this program.
And, you know, and I'm not sitting here sweating, oh, my God, is Fish going to leave after 2 years or whatever, because he doesn't stay anywhere very long. But, you know, and by the way, if we go 3-9 next year, we may want him out of here, you know. But, it's, you know, the situation is as good as it could be considering what we've been through since January. So January 12th.
I think so, too. I imagine Troy Dannon had some paperwork in place or something before he left. But I was really pleasantly surprised that without an athletic director, they hired what I think is a promising basketball coach.
Yes. That was amazing.
Yeah, that's not something I expected out of this administration, because I'm not sold that our president is as enthusiastic about stuff as people think she might be, but I hope she is.
Well, she's not a hindrance, though.
No, definitely not, and I'll give her the benefit of the doubt, absolutely. It's not like DeBoer was a terrible hire, and, you know, regardless of how I feel about him now, obviously that was a good hire, and we'll see what Jed Fish does. I think it's a good evolutionary step forward getting us out of the dark ages where he basically – he has no problem saying, this is going to be an NFL factory. That's how we're going to run this place. We want kids to come here because we're going to be the gateway to the NFL. I'm like, that's a pretty fucking good sales pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I remember once upon a time when Neuheisel got hired and said we were going to be the Florida State of the West. And even saying those words right now, I still feel a little adrenaline pump through me as I said those words there. But, you know,
right.
Didn't quite turn out that way. But but I love that type of forward ambition as long as it's backed with something. And Neuheisel did win us a Rose Bowl. And the fact that Fish says he publicly proclaims he wants next year to be the best recruiting class ever. And I love that he's putting himself on the line like that publicly. I really like that. So
I do too. And I, you know, the one thing that he does have is he's proven he can recruit. I mean, That was no small task turning around a horrible Arizona program to national prominence last year.
Well, they were as any team I've seen.
Oh, yeah. And he's got some coaches in place with some good names, some good surnames, and we'll see how they recruit. I don't know if good old Billy Ray Cyrus-looking motherfucker can recruit or not, but he certainly has the pure blood lines and, you know, even these young kids, everybody knows who Bill Belichick is. If you're 18 years old, you know who the fuck Bill Belichick is.
Did you just compare Steve Belichick to Cyrus? Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yeah, same hair.
Okay, well, I would say that Billy Ray Cyrus, I mean, I don't follow him, but it seems like he's a halfway attractive guy, right? He doesn't look like he's going to be rummaging through dumpsters in the U District.
Okay, fine. Joe Dirt on steroids.
Okay, there we go.
That actually is kind of accurate.
Because if you were going down University Avenue and you glanced into an alleyway and you saw Steve Belichick in there with his black shoes and white socks and grubby sweatpants that don't fit right, and he's leaning into a dumpster pulling out a half of a bologna and cheese sandwich, you wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't blink an eye.
Actually, more accurately, if I drive about 3 minutes into Centralia, Washington, and go to any of the 7-Elevens or AMPMs and see a guy pumping gas into a shitty rundown pickup truck, that would be him.
Yes.
He looks like all the guys I grew up with. We'll see. Go ahead.
I was going to tell a mini joke, but go ahead.
I was just one sentence. I was just going to say, the one thing that I am kind of having fun with is this is a completely new look Washington athletic theme now. And I don't know, that's kind of fun. You know, they kind of bulldozed everything in, and I don't know how our Wazoo athletic director transplant But just don't get in the way, I guess. I guess that's the best thing you can do, and raise money. I think that's what an athletic director is for. Raise money and don't get in the way, that, you know, if you got a good coach, that kind of thing. Keep good coaches here.
And make good hires.
Make good hires. He does. Did you, real quick, and please don't forget your joke, but the new athletic director, did you ever watch, what the hell is it called? It was the, oh, God damn it. It was a cop show that took, Hal Linden was the police chief, and it took place just in one room. And like the Fish, like that old guy was one of the detectives.
You don't mean
like
Barney
that.
Miller.
Yeah, it's Barney Miller. Will Jehovah.
Oh, okay.
Our new athletic
that was
director
on when I was like five.
Yeah.
I barely remember it.
It was a staple on our black and white TV that got 2.5 channels. He looks just like that detective, the Asian detective on there. It's kind of, that was the first thing I thought of, is like, Barney Miller. I can't get Barney Miller out of my head.
Uh-oh, are we and going I, down I, the Barney Miller rabbit hole?
The Quincy Jones theme song. The 70s had the best theme songs for shows. Anyway, what was that? What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's not. It's all right. you were just mentioning, if you were to drive around downtown Centralia and see anybody standing there pumping gas into their, you know, certain truck or whatever, and it could be Steve Belichick. So it just triggered in my mind something that Joey has said on a couple of occasions where part of his job where he's on the road and stuff, and he's driving around like Bellingham, and then he goes down certain alleyways or whatever and sees all kinds of, I guess, you know, either prostitutes or people that are really down on their luck or whatever. And then he says if he sees a woman, I don't know if he's being literal, but he'll snap a photo to send to Wooly Doug for like potential dates or whatever. So there's another thud. Okay.
I'll tell you what I'm going to start doing, Derek. I'm going to start doing the same thing with you, except I'm going to do a mullet collection here in Lewis County.
We'll start a thread on Hardcore Husky.
Lewis County Hairdressers. I'll do that, just to go back to an old meme from Hardcore Husky.
That's from the Roommate Radio days.
Oh, that's right. That is Roommate Radio. You're right. That was she looks like my mom's Lewis County hairdresser. Yeah, that had more life to it than it probably deserved, that statement.
Well, I guess we could start wrapping it up. Do you have any final thoughts in regards to, I don't know, Husky Spring Ball?
I had a ton of thoughts, which is funny. I was going to talk about the offensive line. I was going to talk about the running back situation, but that's all right. That's all right. Maybe I'll share my thoughts in Hardcore, or next time we do connect pod-wise, we'll have some things to talk about, maybe after spring ball or something.
Yeah. I'll just say I'm glad Will Rogers is here, and let's go further pillage Arizona for some more offensive linemen. That's, even though I hate doing that.
I do too, but that's the these days. I hate it. I don't like NIL. I don't like any of this shit, but it's because I'm old school, but it's what it is, and I'm glad UW's taking it seriously.
You're going into any team X, you're going into spring ball, and half of your concern is, can we keep our roster together? It's just not right.
I hear you. There's got to be some changes. There's got to be some changes to the rules, to the whole portal situation. There's got to be. I mean, it's chaos. These coaches are spending more time being fucking personnel managers or fucking, you know, they should probably farm out to one of these staffing agencies that you always hear advertised on TV and stuff like that, or on podcasts to handle all this, because it's nuts. They need to focus on X's and O's, not Jimmy's and Joe's.
Every time I hear that, I have a flashback to sitting in Scott Woodward's office interviewing him for my Willingham book, and he used that quote multiple times while we were sitting there. So
that sounds right, because he was a raging non-intellectual piece of shit ball gargler, so that makes sense to me.
Oh, I hold them in a little higher regard than that, but you know, I'm not a huge fan, but I don't, you know,
I had like premium season tickets for several years, and you never returned any of my emails, so that's why I say that personally.
Oh, okay.
I tried to get that opera singer.
I get
tried to get that fat opera singing douchebag who used to do the national anthem every game fired, and then I was really sick of hearing fat. Terrible. And then I was sick of hearing fat fucking bottom girls every time the marching band was out there. And it's like, it's time for a change at band director too. And so I was always negative, but that's why I ignored it.
That whole McDavid thing was, he was so, just so awful and stale and cliche and, took himself way too seriously. And, anyways, it's water under the bridge cause he's gone now, but,
thank goodness. I was very impressed at the Utah game, Military Appreciation Day and all that kind of thing. Very impressed. I thought, wow, they've come a long way.
Well, he was still there at that point, right?
Was he? I thought he's been gone for a bit. No? Am I wrong twice?
This might be.
Twice?
Yeah, I might be wrong.
I don't.
I thought he retired because they announced he was leaving, and then I was thinking, oh, that's weird. Is he gonna take the band down to the Sugar Bowl and then to the national championship? I thought it was this past year.
Why did I think he was gone? Maybe because I thought that the marching band was actually competent this year and entertaining.
Like, well, this is good. That guy must be gone.
Yeah. Don't be David here. No fat. They didn't play Fat Bottom Girls once.
Well, I loved Fat Bottom Girls back in the Bill Bissell days. I loved it when they did that and Angel in a Centerfold and et cetera. But that's dating me now. That's going way back to the early 90s and 80s. But
Early 80s and 90s. You heard what you just said, right? 80s and 90s, not 20 fucking 18 or whatever it was last time I was there and I heard that. So,
well,
anyway,
I mean, I have a bit of a youthful look to me, and somebody asked me the other day because they, what was it? They were going to ask if I wanted a 55 or over discount. I was like, what? So I don't know if it's good. A bit of gray hair I got now or what, but anyways. Well, hey, man, we'll do this. Go ahead.
I said, that'll show you, sir.
Well, hey, good talking to you as always, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right, buddy. Great catching up with you, and go Dogs.
Go Dogs. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Hardcore Husky Podcast. This show is copyrighted material. In other words, stop plagiarizing our shit, fuckos. So please tell a friend and rate us 5 stars on iTunes, especially you cheap bastards who don't donate. It's the least you could do. Yeah, I'm looking at you, creepy coog. And come join our fun over at hardcorehusky.com. We've got Husky Football, Yellow Snow's Record Shop, and our notorious Tug Tavern, which is a shit show of politics and strange news. And if you enjoy yourself and are ready for the next level of cyber
peyote,
come join Swain's Wigwam. I'm going to have to read this over.
Sway's Wigwam, yeah.
Sway's Wigwam at Navajo Nation's gift to college football. It's also the official private club of Hardcore Huskies. We're talking boobs, guns, and inside information, all for the low fee of $129 a year. Come join the fun. I'll have to redo that one, but...